Morning session two, message one. And let's all read right below that the subject for this whole line, for this time. Practicing the twos or threes, and the title of this message, Pursuing Christ in Twos or Threes. Hallelujah. So our morning time that we had this morning, that is focused on developing an intimate and loving, affectionate relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Then the message we just ended, the brothers said that focused very much on our experience. On our experience with the truth. And now this message, or this line, I should say, this line is, you can underline that first word in the subject, practicing, right? So practicing. So I don't know if anyone in here has played sports at the college level, but I know the football players or basketball, they'll watch film. They'll watch their games. You watch it once, that's it. They go back. They watch it again. So they learn, right? They get some knowledge and they learn. But then, is that all they do? No, they go practice. So this is our topic, practicing the twos or threes. Amen. So this line, maybe some of us are getting a little hungry, hopefully, or maybe you're tired, I don't know. Hopefully your attention is here somewhat. If not, that's fine. It's wonderful that you're here. How about that? Amen. So these messages, we will have a good amount of student sharing, and it will come during the message. So it's one thing for me to describe to you, I don't know, a beautiful scene with some butterflies and caterpillars and flowers, but what if I showed you that scene? This is one of my son's books. Ah, look at this. So here we go. So this is a pop-up, right? A pop-up book. I think there's some more. Oh, look at this. Some worms. Okay. All right. See, you didn't say wow. None of you said wow when I said I would talk about butterflies and flowers. You just didn't say anything. But then I showed you that, and you all said wow. Okay, so the pop-ups, that's what we'll call them. Some of the students will come and they will share their experience. So we have some wonderful points in the outline, and then the students will come and they will pop up. And you'll go, oh, wow, I want that too. That sounds so good. They have a companion. I want that also. So maybe that's a good first place to begin. Oh, Chris, I need you to, I want to take 20 minutes. So at 20 minutes, and then I'll wrap up within 2 minutes. 2 Corinthians 10 speaks of a God of measure. So I've been measured my time. Amen. So for this, let's all read that first Roman numeral. The best way for the young brothers and sisters to experience Christ is to find at least two or three companions in the Lord. Amen. So let's read those first three words. The best way. Amen. One more time. The best way. So there are some very good ways that you can experience Christ. But there is a best way. And this comes from the Word. So if we have our Bibles, let's all read 2 Timothy. I hope we have our Bibles. 2 Timothy 2:22. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're there, but flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those. Call on the Lord.
Out of your heart.
Amen. Amen. So many of us are you. This phrase here, to flee youthful lusts. I don't think we need to go into any specifics. You're all on a college campus. You know what that is. And maybe you might realize, I need to flee.
Yeah.
You have this heart. Maybe you don't have, I don't know. You should say, Lord, give me the heart to flee.
Amen.
That's a good start.
Yes.
But what happens from there? What should you do next, according to the verse? Pursue, right there, pursue. So this week we are pursuing, hallelujah. At the college training, we're here pursuing. You've all consecrated a whole week to pursue. So what about in 3 weeks? Where will we be in 3 weeks? Well, when we hear flee and pursue, we might immediately be thinking right now something, oh, I'll have that morning time, or I'll read my Bible. These are good things. I hope we would all do these things. Yeah. Yet even in that thought, it's very individualistic. So let's continue with the verse. It gives us a how. What's the how? So we need to flee and pursue. How do we do it? With those. With, and what do those ones do? Call. Call out of what? What do they have? A pure heart. Amen. So this verse really, really encapsulates very much of this message and even the whole burden for this line this week. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can flee, we can pursue with those. Amen. Amen. So now we're going to go through some examples here. Some examples from the Word of God. So letter A is examples in the Old Testament. So Joshua and Caleb, they fully followed God together. Amen. Hallelujah for fully following God. So in this point, with Joshua and Caleb, the first time they come together, they were in a group of 12 that went to tour the good land.
Yeah.
And all of them were there for 40 days. And then they came back to the children of Israel. And they had a report. And 10 of them, oh, their report was bad. They said, the people there are giants, and we will be their food. We're like grasshoppers to them. But what did Joshua and Caleb do? They said, no, no, don't believe this evil report. And they said, they said, God said, we will take that land, so it will happen.
Amen.
God said it, so it will happen. So you might be sitting here thinking, well, this is really good, twos and threes, it's in the Bible, but you don't know what it's like on my campus. My campus, no. There's just no way. There's no, well, according to the Word of God, it will happen.
Amen.
Amen. So even Caleb at the end of his life, at the age of 85, he testified this, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of Jehovah, sent me out to spy out the land. And I returned such a word to him as was genuine upon my heart. However, my brothers who went up with me made the people's heart melt. Has someone ever had made your heart melt from an evil report? But what does Caleb say? He says, but I fully follow Jehovah my God. Amen. Amen. Lord, give us a heart to fully follow you. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. So then the next point, I hope we would all be inspired. I really enjoyed that hymn. Thus with all saints we can apprehend. So I was noticing this morning, there's so much food out in that cafeteria. But ultimately, I could only put food on my plate. Yet when you looked around, you all had so much food. Okay, so this is Christ to us. He is unlimited and he is unsearchably rich. Yet you in and of yourselves, you fill a plate and it's wonderful and it's very tasty. Yet you cannot. Even I looked at another brother at dinner last night. His dinner plate was completely different from mine. Wow, there's so much food down there. There's an unlimited supply, seemingly. So this is our Christ to us. So you can experience a portion.
That's right.
And Brother Ken here, he can experience something else, and we can share about this.
Yeah.
Amen. So let's move on to David and Jonathan. These two were spiritual companions. So in chapter 17, 5 minutes, of 1 Kings, this is that wonderful story we all know so well when David slew Goliath. He kills Goliath. But I never put this together. I knew that Saul and David did not like one another, or more so on Saul's side. He had a very envious... You know where that came from? It was because David killed Goliath and he didn't. When David came back, the people praised him. They said, Saul has killed thousands, But David, he's killed 10,000s. And he only killed Goliath. So Goliath was like 10,000. Amen. So this is where that little strife began. But Saul, he had a son, and Saul's son was Jonathan. And Saul told Jonathan, his son, and all his servants to kill David. Wow. But Jonathan, Saul's son, took great delight in David. This is 1 Samuel 19, verse 2. And Jonathan told David, be on guard in the morning. Stay in some secret place and hide yourself. So the footnote here is very good. David had Jonathan as a companion specifically to help him flee. Amen. So this, you can tie it right into 2 Timothy 2:22. As Saul was seeking to kill David, Jonathan and Michal helped him flee. In everything related to David, God was sovereign. Amen. He prepared Jonathan, the son of Saul, to help David flee from Saul. So we're going to have a pop-up here from Jennifer. She's going to come up and share with us. And she has 2.5 minutes. Are you ready, Jennifer? Is that good? Need the mic. Anything? Yeah, here. You're good, right? Yeah, yeah.
So, in the past school year, I really enjoyed having companions, especially on 2 points. First one is that we help each other to turn to the Lord.
Amen.
I remember there was a period of time, both of us were bothered by something, like two different things. So, of course, in the very beginning, we shared each other and then tried to cheer each other up by our own human ways. But not after a long time, we realized that it was just no use to stay in ourselves. So we started to pray. And then after that, whenever one of us started to kind of like complain or like one of us was down, the other of us will bring our conversation to the prayer. And I felt like it really helped me a lot too, and I believe it also helped her a lot to get through the process. And the second point is that not only we two are companions, but we also try to make two other new ones become companions.
Amen.
Although it's still in the process. And so we both were taking care of new ones, like two sisters.
Yep.
And surprisingly, those two sisters were already good friends even before they came to the church. So we were we prayed and we fellowship about their situation, and we tried to make them companions. And praise the Lord, four of us, we all went to the camp to compliment the February this year. And it was a good start. And then after that, gradually, although they haven't started to have their own like appointment or prayers, but my me and the sister I take care of, and my become more like companions.
Amen.
And also my companions and the sister she takes care of, they also become like companions.
Amen.
So they would sometimes they would cook a meal and bring it to the home meeting, and the sister I'm taking care of, and I sometimes we will have appointment with the
Amen. Amen.
So I feel like companion is not just someone that we can hang out with, or it's not even someone that we can only pray or do some spiritual things with. Companion is someone that helps us to turn to the Lord more and enjoy the church life more.
Amen.
Sometimes even helps us to have a more normal Christian life.
Amen. Wow, that was 2.5 on the dot. Very good. Wonderful. Amen. So we can have companions to help us pursue. And even, wow, that was wonderful. Helping your companion find a companion. Wow, wonderful. So under letter A, number 3. Daniel and his 3 companions prayed together in one accord. Amen. So Daniel and his companions, King Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream. And he wouldn't tell anyone what the dream was. And he said, give me an interpretation. And they said, how can we do that? You didn't even tell us. So because no one could do that, he was going to kill all the wise men, which included Daniel and his three companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So what did Daniel do? Did he say, you know what? I'm a wise man. I can figure it out. No. Daniel 2:17 says, Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions.
Amen.
So this word is from the Bible. Amen. And then the next verse, why did he make it known to them? So they could sit around and commiserate. Oh, we're going to die. I mean, really, they could have. No. That they might make requests from before the God of heavens concerning this mystery.
Amen.
Wow, so maybe this week you and your companions, you could make requests from to the God of heavens concerning this mystery. So that Daniel and his companions would not be destroyed. So I guess you don't have, well, maybe we have the judgment seat of Christ ahead of us. So maybe we should make requests that we would receive. Anyway, Now it says in verse 19, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of the heavens.
Amen.
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 So, oh, this is so good. I have an audio recording. A sister was over a few nights ago. And she shared something. I said, I got to record this and share it. So here it is. She's a sister. She went to school in Athens, and she's here in grad school now. And I hope this works.
Student.
Is it going?
Yeah. So as a student, one night, I was at a home meeting, and then there was a brother who shared that.
You can hold it closer.
Think it's not going to pick me up? Okay, yeah, so, yeah, I was in a home meeting one night, and there was a brother, and he shared, I wasn't even really paying attention to the other stuff that he was saying, but I just caught this one little snippet, and he said, if you pray every day for 30 days over these verses, it was Ephesians 3:14-17, he said, you will be a different person at the end. So then there was another college sister sitting next to me, and I turned to her and I was like, let's do this for 30 days. Let's pray these verses. And so she just said, okay. So every day at 9:00, we'd call each other and we would pray read PM, because we were students. 9 a.m. would have been too early. So anyway, but yeah, it was really good because, so we would pray read the verses, but we also would go through all the footnotes on the verses and like take little snippets and just pray them back to the Lord. But it also turned into like, how is your day? It wasn't like we just call each other and then, okay, pray read and we're done or something. It's like, what's going on? How are you doing? So then it felt like we really got into each other's lives and into each other's hearts. It's like I knew how she was doing and what was going on with her and her situation, and she knew mine. And it was really, really sweet. Anyway, so we did this every day for about 2.5 years. And then for the days that, like, if we couldn't make it, one of us or something, we would say, why don't you call another sister? Because I don't want you to miss the time or something like that. Anyway, so it wasn't like it was just exclusive to us. We also prayed with other people, too.
You brought you into others' lives.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and others into ours.
Wow.
Like, you become burdened for what the other person is burdened for. And it's not just your own walk and your own thing, because you can't do your own walk and your own thing. You really need another. You need others. So, anyway.
That's really good.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So Daniel and his three companions in chapter 2. And in chapter 1, I really enjoyed this. What she shared was very much in line with chapter 1 of Daniel. They represented the food offered to idols, but they said no. They just wanted to eat the heavenly food. In this case, it was vegetables, but the spiritual significance is eating the tree of life and enjoying the word of God. And so this sister's testimony very much confirms that. Amen. Amen. So examples in the New Testament. I was considering in all these examples, they're all brothers. They're all brothers, right? So I thought, what about the sisters? What about the sisters? Don't they, were there any examples in the Word of, and I was just during the last meeting, praise the Lord for the other members. And the brother next to me said, oh, Mary and Elizabeth. So in chapter 1 of Luke, Mary and Elizabeth, they come together. Actually, it's right after Mary, I didn't even realize this, right after Mary is told that she is going to give birth to Jesus, it says that she, I'm so sorry. Here we are. Mary rose up in those days and went to Judah and entered into the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. So right after. So sisters, hallelujah. You can read Luke chapter 1, verses 36 through 56. They speak the word of God to one another. All these quotes from the Old Testament. So hallelujah. Even that's a good example. Our companionship with others, this is not something natural that we're talking about. This is, the nature of this should is spiritual. Because we can all have friends in the world. That's not what we're talking about. Hallelujah for a spiritual companionship. So in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they go out together. And let's all read number 3. Paul had Barnabas, Silas, Timothy,
and Luke as companions.
Amen. So one of these companions in this verse in Acts 20, I won't read you the whole verse, but in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, it mentions Tychicus. Amen. The beloved brother. So Paul writes about Tychicus in 5 other places. I didn't even know about him. Tychicus. Who knew? But he says, Tychicus, this is Ephesians 6, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord will make all things known to you. Him I have sent to you for this very thing, that you may know the things concerning us and that he may comfort your hearts. Amen. So how did Paul know that Tychicus was going to comfort their hearts? How did he know this? Probably it's because Tychicus had comforted Paul's heart. So even Paul himself, who wrote the Bible, this little brother Tychicus, he had comforted his heart. Amen. So JR is going to come up and give us another pop-up. And JR, there he is. Here you go, JR.
Thanks. Yeah, so basically, it started off pretty small. It was right after summer school of truth. My junior year, going into my senior year.
Hold it closer.
Yeah,
and you got, you just got 1 minute.
Okay. And it started off small. We were just reading the Bible. We brought in some other brothers that were there. My companion, I'm originally from the Mid-Atlantic, so he was about, I don't know, about 50 minutes away, but we called Skype. And it started off small, and it lasted for about half a year or so. And then, you know, we got busy. Everybody's kind of going on their way. But we would try, you know, just call each other and text each other. And then we finally get to the National College Training last year. And, you know, we were really touched. We need to have companions. So we started praying a lot more. And so that Bible reading time we had kind of just continued straight into praying. And even when we were going to our universities, we were praying, Lord, blend us in with the saints that are there. We were both moving to 2 different localities that we had never been to or really had not been connected with before. So it was a good time when we were moving into a transition phase to have those that could, you know, as they were saying, comfort us.
Amen.
When we're going through, you know, whatever it is, school, classes, everything.
Right? Amen.
So it was a very encouraging time to be able to pray with this brother through all the situations.
Amen.
Really good.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, JR. So the next part of the message, having companions has a purpose.
Yeah.
We're not just talking about being with one another just for the sake of that. It has a purpose.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have started with that. But Daniel is going to share with us now about the purpose.
Amen.
Amen. Praise.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So good to be here this week. Amen. Have this week consecrated to the Lord.
Amen.
To love the Lord.
Amen.
And pursue.
Amen.
Pursue the Lord. Yeah. Pursue Christ. Yeah. And right this week we're pursuing with about 200 others, right?
Yeah.
This is so good.
Amen.
So encouraging.
Amen.
To have so many here to pursue the Lord with. But when we go back home, that's not very practical. Everyone's going to go to different places. And so we really need the twos and threes,
Amen.
Specifically to pursue the Lord with. So let's continue the outline. Let's read point two together. Two or three are particular numbers in the Scriptures denoting witness and testimony, complement and match, partnership and companionship, mutual help and support, and strength and durability. So just reading through this point, could I get a show of hands who went to the summer training on Exodus just like a week and a half ago? Okay, so maybe like a quarter or a third. So we were talking from the summer training about the tabernacle and specifically about the boards in the tabernacle. And these boards were designed very specifically according to God's design. And these boards were a cubit and a half wide. And so we see from other places in the Bible that actually the numbers for God's building all through the Bible are 3 and 5. And so these boards are a cubit and a half. So that's half of 3, right? And so this is half of the correct measurement, right? We need at least 3 to be a complete unit for God's building. So these boards are for God's building. They are the sides, the walls of the tabernacle. But each board individually is not a complete unit. Each board is half of a unit. And so we see this in the Bible several different places. One example is the ark. Anyway, you can go on and on, all the different furnitures in the tabernacle. But 3 and 5 are the numbers of God's building. And so these boards are half a unit. And so that implies then that you need another board. You need another one standing next to that one, right? And so you need 2. So the number in the Bible for companion, for strength, I love all of these adjectives are very good. Witness and testimony, complement and match. And so complement and match, the reference there is Genesis 2:18, and let's see, I got the verse here. It says, And Jehovah God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper as his counterpart. And so Adam needed a helper. He needed a counterpart. And really, this is also a picture of God. God wants a counterpart, right? And I guess this word in Hebrew can also mean parallel. And so this is just like the two boards. They're parallel, standing together. So you need the two to be the complement, to be the match. You need someone to match you. Partnership and companionship. So this is very good. I'll read these verses. This is Ecclesiastes 4:10-12, and I'm going to add 9 to it also. 9 says, 2 are better than 1, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his companion. Sometimes you need someone to lift you up. You need someone there to help you. And then it continues, but woe to the one who falls and does not have another to lift him up. You know, sometimes this is our experience. Maybe we fall. And, you know, it does happen for sure. But what about a companion?
Yeah.
Someone to lift you up.
Yeah.
This is so practical, right? If we're there alone, we're pursuing the Lord. It's good to pursue the Lord. But sometimes you stumble. Something happens. And so it's so good to have a companion to help you and to lift you up.
Amen.
Help you pursue the Lord.
Amen.
11 continues, again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And 12, and while a man may prevail against the one, the two will withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Amen.
So it's so good to have this. So here we come into even three, the twos and the threes. The threefold cord is not quickly broken.
Yes.
And so I have a pop-up here. And so this will be Nicozy and RJ. Okay. Is it on? Sure, it's on.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Yes.
We want to share a little bit of our testimony of having companions. And so there's a period of time where I was in my brother's house, but I didn't have a companion. And even there's some time where I was just alone. And so, you know, hearing different fellowships or trainings or conferences that we need companions, I started to pray and even pray with others and to desperate that I would have a companion. And so, in 2013, Cozy came to University of Oklahoma where we went to school. And then the following year, throughout the year, we got built up together. And we started getting closer to one another. But then in the next fall, we decided to read the Bible together. And we realized that reading the Word was one of the things that really strengthened our companionship.
Amen. Amen. So together, my name is Cozy from Swaziland. So together we had this desire to go through the Bible, the whole Bible, in one semester. And in order to do that, we had to read 7 chapters a day.
Wow.
And at first it was like, 7 chapters, let's go. But then, towards the end, it was like, oh man, 7 chapters. So, but you know, we needed each other actually to push through, because on my own, I would have definitely not been able to go through the Bible, because we needed to push each other. And another thing, actually, also while going through the Bible reading together, would see some things in the Bible that I would never have seen if I was reading alone.
Yeah.
For example, like in our first reading, our first 7 chapters, in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible shows that Adam was the first believer.
Yeah.
And actually, I remember we laughing together in enjoyment, like, whoa, 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 this is good. I'd seen that. So because we're together, it helped.
Amen. And also, it's about like accountability and encouragement. There's at one point, like in the middle of the semester, where you know school gets busier and things get harder. And so I was working on a project, and it was at later at night, and I hadn't even been back to the house yet. And so we hadn't done our Bible reading, but Cozy, he came to campus to where I was, brought the Bible, and we read together there. And so it's just like we need companions to encourage one another. And even when we're going through different situations, to have a companion just to read together, to pray together, is so wonderful.
Yeah, it's so wonderful. Considering that we're different backgrounds, like he was praying to God about a companion, and then God brings somebody from way out there, Swaziland, in Africa, so far away. Brings us to be companions together. It shows that God really wants us to have companions.
Amen.
Answer our prayers for praying for companions.
Amen. Amen. Wow, what an awesome answer to prayer. Okay, I think let's continue the outline. But you can really see, even in that testimony, mutual help and support, strength and durability. Wow. So let's read A together. The triune God is one, yet he is three. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit work together harmoniously for the carrying out of His economy. Let's read B as well. The three parables in Luke 15 unveil and depict how the triune God, works to bring sinners through the Son, by the Spirit, to the Father. And so in these, in this you can really see that the triune God himself doesn't do anything by himself. He does it through his Trinity. You know, he is there working, and he does, the Father purposes everything. And as you're reading through Ephesians, I hope you see this. Especially, you know, you can very see it plainly in chapter 1. The Father purposing, the Son accomplishing, the Spirit applying. And you can see the triune God. He's just working all these things out. And he's not doing it alone. He's doing it in his Trinity.
Amen.
Right? And so, and they're just doing it harmoniously. And I love this, for his economy.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is his purpose and his plan. And then the parables in Luke 15, you know, you can really see the son as the shepherd of the sheep. He's going out to bring sinners back to himself. You can even say this is sort of outward, right? This is the outward working, the son coming to you, right? Or through you to your friends. But also there's the Spirit. The Spirit sweeping, and this is an inward working.
Amen.
So maybe this is through your praying.
Amen.
With your companions.
Amen.
For your friends.
Amen.
So you got the outward and the inward.
Amen.
And then the Father is there to receive this one back to himself.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What working of the triune God.
Amen.
And so, okay, let's go on to Roman 3 there. We can read that. The gatherings of two or three with the Lord's presence are the reality of the church and are needed to build up the local church. Okay, and so with this, I wanted to read the focus, which is at the bottom. Let's read that together. We should pursue Christ with companions in twos or threes, meeting together by being gathered into his name and enjoying his presence. Okay, so this point brings out gatherings of twos or threes with the Lord's presence. And so, you know, we can come together in twos and threes and do lots of things. And we probably do lots of things. But this point also at the end talks about to build up the church. And so, in order for the building to happen, we need the Lord's presence, right? It's very important to have the Lord's presence, or you could probably, there won't be any building up of the church. There'll be, something will happen, and maybe you'll enjoy that person or play basketball together, but without the Lord's presence, then there's not really the building. There's not the real building. Maybe some natural building. You know, to come back to this example of the boards in the tabernacle, these boards were overlaid with gold. And so they had nothing of the acacia wood was not touching because they were overlaid with gold.
Amen.
Only the gold was touching. And so this is the divine nature, right? You could say maybe this is the Lord's presence. This is the Lord building you together, not you in a natural way, but you have the Lord.
Amen.
And then it continues, are the reality of the church. The gatherings of the twos, two and three, with the Lord's presence, are the reality of the church. Okay, so I'll read this, and you can turn to it, Matthew 18, verse 20, and I'm going to read a footnote. This footnote is pretty awesome. And so this part here in Matthew is talking about, you know, if a brother sins, go to him. You know, if he doesn't hear you, bring two or three. And if he doesn't hear them, then bring him to the church. Okay? And then this verse is right after that, verse 20. For where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst. And so this first footnote says, these two or three who are gathered into the Lord's name are not the church, right? These two or three are not the church. Okay, so that's in footnote 1 of 20. And then footnote 2, the meetings of the believers are initiated by the Lord, who calls the believers out of all persons, matters, and things that occupy them and gathers them together into his name to enjoy the riches of his presence.
Amen.
Wow, the riches of his presence.
Yeah.
The Lord is so rich. Stephen was describing, you know, the food downstairs. There's so much riches. The Lord's presence comes with riches.
Amen.
You get the riches of the Lord himself.
Amen.
Okay, and this can happen in the twos and threes.
Yeah.
Right? So on one hand, we have the meetings of the church in a big, larger way. Depending on your locality, maybe it's 20 or 50 or 100 or whatever. But also, there's this matter of the twos and the threes.
Amen.
And so continuing, such a gathering of a few people, of two or three, implies one of the ways for the church to meet locally.
Amen.
So this is one of the ways for the church to meet. It's the twos and the threes.
Amen.
And with it, you can have the reality of the church.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
With it, there's the reality of the church.
Amen.
And so you could even say this is probably the most practical way for the gatherings of the church in a smaller way. Because it is very good to have the larger Lord's Day meetings, you know, where you come together, prophesy, breaking of bread. This is very, very good. But practically, you can't do that probably even every day. But you can call someone every day, you know, or maybe come together every day, or at least once or twice a week, another time, where you can have some real practical building with that particular person. Nor can you probably bring up some of the problems or issues that you're having in a large group setting. It's not going to happen. I wouldn't want to bring up the problems I'm having, you know, to you all right here. This would, you know, probably not be so good. But with maybe one or two others, I would feel comfortable to do that. And then you can pray for each other.
Amen.
You can read the Bible together.
Amen.
You can pray for the person who's on your heart, right? And so these smaller groups, the twos and the threes, are the practical way, and even has the reality of the church, and then you get the building up, right?
Amen.
And so A says, the most basic way to meet with the saints in a local church is by having meetings in twos or threes. So this is the most basic way.
Yeah.
And then one, the meetings of the believers are initiated by the Lord, who calls the believers out of all persons, matters, and things that occupy them and gathers them together into his name to enjoy the riches of his presence.
Amen.
And so this is something, again, you're coming out of yourself, out of all that you are, out of maybe your studies or the trials that you're having, and you're getting into the Lord,
Amen.
Into him, right? And so that doesn't mean that you won't pray maybe for the trials that you're having or your studies or this sort of thing, but you're coming out of them and then you get into the Lord and into his person. And then there's some real building that can happen. Okay, and let's read two together. Because the name denotes the person to be gathered together into the Lord's name.
Is to be gathered together into his person.
Right, hallelujah, into his person. Okay, and then B, if two or three are fully in one accord, the Lord would be in their midst and would answer their prayer.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Two or three.
Amen.
Fully in one accord.
Amen.
The Lord would be in their midst.
Amen.
Answer their prayer.
Amen.
We want our prayers answered.
Amen.
Okay, so here's another pop-up. So this will be Daniel, Smith, and Nehemiah.
Amen.
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 So we live together in the brother's house, and we've known each other for like 10 years. So it's like the majority of our lives.
Thank you.
So I just enjoy, like, over this past year, really being built up together with these brothers.
Amen.
And not like, and especially in a human way, like, sometimes, you know, or like, well, like every day, Daniel would come to me and, or he would ask us, you know, like, hey, do you want to go toss a frisbee? And it would be like 10 at night. And then, like, you know, other days, and then, you know, it would be like, oh, hey, you want to go out for a Dairy Queen run? And that would also be at 10 at night. But if I was the only ride there, you know, I would do the ride. So, but, you know, I just enjoy that. The humanity, right, is the base. Like, in the tabernacle, the humanity upholds the overlaying of the gold.
Amen.
So it sets up the foundation for us to, like, I wouldn't just go up to a random brother that I just met, like, here, and, like, you know, ask him to pray about my issues, right? But because I was built up with them, you know, we had a human connection, right? I was comfortable to come to them with my problems. And, you know, with Nehemiah, you know, I have a burden, you know, for the young people, and this situation came up with one of the young people, and I just came to Nehemiah, and I just asked him, you know, hey, can we pray for this young person? Can we pray for this situation? You know? So I just enjoyed it. Yeah, that's just the base, and you know, we can lead into the spiritual things.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I appreciate it. Also, like, with the matter of prayer, like I said, we know each other for a long time, we do a bunch of stuff together, but it's not just for having fun, but actually it leads into prayer. Like, a lot of times we'll just be driving, and then sometimes one of us will have something we need to pray for, or we'll pray for something like that. And so I appreciate it also. Like, one time I was reading the Bible with a brother, and after we were done and everything, it was over the phone, so after we hung up, I just had a feeling I needed to pray for a certain matter with his brother. And so I just went up to Smith and told him. Actually, he asked me first, how was the time? And then I just told him I had to pray, so we just prayed. And then actually the next day, there was an immediate answer to the prayer.
Wow.
And then another time I was with Daniel around the gospel, and we ended up speaking to this one person. He's going to speak about that later. But we also were able to be built up in prayer in that matter of the gospel. So it's not just getting to know each other and, like, having fun, but it's actually that spiritual aspect that
I think.
Amen. Amen.
Enjoying the spiritual aspect of having companions.
Amen.
And actually, companions help you get into your spirit.
Amen.
You don't feel like touching your spirit, but your companion's there. Let's pray, or let's go out on the gospel. So my experience this summer really was going out on the gospel. One time, me and Nehemiah were just out on the gospel, and we had just prayed, got into our spirit, and we walked past this student, and we just had a feeling to go back. So I was like, Nehemiah, you want to go back? He was like, yeah, sure. So we went back, and I was like, yeah, you'll leave. And then he's like, no. So it ended up, we just kind of tag-teamed this guy. And then and then his name was Jacob, and he was actually really open. And he started reading the Gospel of John with me. And actually, last night, we finished John together. So without the companions, we probably would have never talked to him. And he wouldn't have started reading John. And actually, we're going to start reading the whole Bible. So,
yeah. Amen. 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 Thank you. So, how about I'll conclude my sharing, but let's read the focus again.